Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. Glad to have you here.
It's getting dark outside. Got people out on their patio, their decks, having like little eclipse parties.
Good for them.
I'm afraid to look at it. I'm afraid, you know, I'll come in here and you'll be like, I have to have a seeing eye dog the entire time. This is Brutus, because Adam was too stupid to not look at the sun during an eclipse.
In all fairness, like, I feel like sometimes you need a seeing eye dog around here anyway.
after a rousing night of sessions, yeah, I need something.
Right?
What's the opposite of like the Saint Bernard with the liquor underneath of him? I need that.
Need one of those with like a little thing of Pedialyte.
Yeah.
That seems more your speed.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you off during the break, and we'll see if we can talk about it in the air, but Drew brought some stuff in on Saturday night that was, wow.
Really?
That was something. I'm going to talk about it. He made his own peanut butter whiskey, but in typical Drew fashion, if doing it like to the nth degree is enough for anybody else, he's going to do it even bigger.
Of course
he is. And so, yeah, I know hot peanuts are like a delicacy. You know, some people really like the hot, spicy peanuts. That's what he's got. He's got something really good going on over here. And then we added some like cream to it, I can't remember what it's called, but some Irish cream, and it was really, really good. But it was like 119 proof.
Yeah,
it was something else.
I see that. Like, we need to stop having him like do a show directly before yours. Like, we're going to have to move the Blarney Hour to, like, midnight on Solid State Radio just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, right?
The way that man's sitting here like a chemist mixing drinks, he's an old-timey 1900s pharmacist or something at a soda fountain, like, just with more alcohol. Like.
I don't even know what he grabbed. He grabbed something off of the bar. I don't even know what we had over there, but he says, here, I want you to try this. And I was like, oh, that's not. Are you having any? He's like, no, I don't drink any of that crap.
That's how you know it's good. He's like, no, I don't drink that stuff. Here, you be my guinea pig, won't you?
Well, yeah, I told you about the one time he shows up with a Bush Light and
Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan,
and not just Captain Morgan, a bottle of Captain Morgan that like was so light it looked like he half watered it down or something.
Yeah, like it was in the sun too long. He's like, yeah, you mix these together, it's supposed to taste like chocolate milk. I'm like, who hurt you? No, this is not something that you. Somebody maybe been really drunk at a bonfire going, oh, this tastes like chocolate milk.
Yeah, no. That man should not be allowed to view TikTok anymore. He really shouldn't. He just does he sees one ridiculous trend on there. It's like, I could totally do this. Like, he is that guy that, like, sees something trending on, like, a tipsy bartender or whatever. Yep. And then, I have to do this.
No, but, I mean, that peanut butter.
Or subject other people to it.
That peanut butter white lightning, just even thinking about it, has got me slurring my words. I told him, you're onto something here. Because, I mean, people pay for, like peanut butter kind of products, and especially if you've got something going here, man. Like Droopy's White Lightning, he could do that. He could do his Limoncello. I mean,
there you go.
I got a multi-million-dollar idea for him.
This is just crazy enough to work, I think.
Yep.
We stumbled upon a new money-making scheme. I mean,
But yeah, the eclipse is going on right now, and it's going to get pretty dark out here.
Allegedly.
And what I love/loathe is all the people who are saying, oh, it's the apocalypse. The world's coming to an end. Well, this is all going to happen.
I just expect that at this point. Like, everything seems to be an excuse for the world to end, and I'm starting to get disappointed that not once has it actually come through.
Well, yeah, all these doomsayers. Oh, is it Y2K? The world's going to end. Nope, it didn't happen. Oh, March of 2012, the Mayans said everything was going to end. It didn't end. It's going to end this day. And do these people, when the world doesn't come to an end, are they happy or are they a little disappointed?
Probably a little bit of both. All I'm saying is, could the doomsayers say their doom a little more accurately? That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, well, what kills me is, you guys say that the world's going to come to an end, but yet you still made your car payment. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that just a quinky dink?
Well, some of them don't. There was, I was reading somewhere over the weekend about a lady who like tipped $300 at a restaurant because like, well, I'm not going to need this money. The world's going to end on Monday. Which, isn't she going to be mighty disappointed to find out that that's not the case?
Hi, Karen. Yeah, hi, this is Capital One. Just want to know why we haven't heard from you this month. I thought the world was going to end, I swear. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. So, unfortunately for you, that's not how any of this works. I just don't get I mean, okay, cool. Like, it's an eclipse. That's awesome. Whatever. But what I really don't understand are the people that are literally just taking a day and going and driving to Ohio to try and sit in the path of the total eclipse. Yeah. Like, you people, I don't understand you. Like, there's so many things, like, I might actually blow off a day from work to go see, like, a Tigers game on opening day, for instance.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But you're driving to Ohio to look at the sun. Like, first off, what has gone wrong in your life that you're willingly driving just to hang out in Ohio? Show me on the doll where they hurt you.
Get in the path of the sun. I don't get it.
Like, no. Like I know people who are actually driving down there today to do this. Like, why? Like, why are you wasting your time with this?
I don't know. And then there's people who are just getting scary. I think people like a good panic because we know somebody who works at a bank, and some guy came up there and withdrew all of his money.
Really?
Because he was pretty sure that, you know, everything was going to shut down and all hell's breaking loose when this eclipse happens. You realize the eclipse is about 4 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot can happen.
I don't
in four
think
minutes,
they realize that.
But it's always
well for you. It could happen like four times.
That's right. They just like a good panic. They like to. You know, oh, the world's coming to an end. Oh yeah, look at the eclipse. Thanks, Biden.
Because he controls the sun now. Wow. Like I never fail to be amazed at the power that these people think the politicians have.
Exactly.
Quite impressive. Like, you're somehow responsible for both the Kennedy assassination and a solar eclipse. Way to go.
Exactly.
People are really, truly interesting and sad, yes. Sad creatures all the way around.
Yes, we are. That's true.
Oh, a lot of stuff to do today. A lot of stuff to get to. We'll probably do the Tigers next. It is happy hour. Stick around. It is happy hour. And, well, the Tigers played this weekend. It's finally opening weekend, you know, the official start of summer as far as we're concerned in this state. Of course, I was down there for opening day. It's a great time all the way around. Myself and Lapeer Main Street manager James Tiberius Alt.
You usually don't go to the game.
We've been doing this for like 30 years now. We've never actually gone to the game. And we probably weren't going to this year either. And then I got a message from our old buddy Eddie Fury at WMIC.
Eddie?
On Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, so what's your plans for Friday? You going to the game? Do you have tickets? No, we don't. You want to go? We can get you in. Like, all right, awesome, dude. Like, we are absolutely in. So the trade-off was that we had to do radio at 9 in the morning, which is fine with me, certainly. We had to get there at like 8, which meant we had to leave at 6:30, which for us is a little earlier than normal. Usually we're like getting going at like 8.
Yeah.
But, well, we got to be at Comerica Park at 8 o'clock, right? So we got up. I had like 4 hours and 20 minutes or so of sleep, give or take. Rolled out of bed at 6:20, threw on clothes, brushed myself, you know, made myself, you know, not totally offensive, and ran out the door, grabbed some coffee, another beverage or two, shall we say.
Sure.
And we headed down. It's funny. We got there at like 8 o'clock. We got in through security like super easy. Like they, like, yeah, we're from WMIC, and we went in and got our stuff and set up and got our stuff checked in, and like, where's the guy who's like running this? Like, we got in, like the security people were super cool, let us in and helped us, you know, get everything set up. Like, where's Eddie? Like,
right.
Are you coming? Did we get punked?
Yeah.
Like, are we supposed to do this whole show by myself?
Was that today?
Like, I kind of wondered, man. Like, we messaged him, like, yeah, I'm still on. We're still in Rochester Hills at like 75 and 59. We're going to be a minute. Like, they got there probably about 8:35, 8:40. He's like, do we have to come down and let you guys in? We thought we were going to have to, but no, they got in. We got set up, ended up being us and Eddie's old buddy, Sir Philip Nickel, Awesome. All, cool dude in the room, as you like to say. We're getting him here on some point. He does occasionally listen to the show.
Yeah, he sent me a friend request on Facebook. I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, who's this cat? Then like, he's a radio brethren, okay?
Yeah, he wants to come down and do a show, an episode of Happy Hour with us eventually, and I'm like, I'm all Hell willing yeah. to do this. Dude can drink like I can, so, you know.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah, my. You're going to want to make sure we have all of the booze here in stock that day. So it was him, and then eventually our other buddy, Mike Gallagher, from the Santa Ana County News showed up at like 12:45. Like, and then we all went, after we got off the air at like noon, go down and actually watch the game. The four of us wander over to get food and end up in center field like, where's Mike? Where did he disappear off to? Like, he shows up at like the end of the first inning like, dude, where did you go? Like, we thought we lost you. Like, then he shows us the pictures of where he was at like, you got onto the field. Like, what? Yeah, he was down on the field shooting pictures of the pregame ceremony. They had Panay Sewell out there, you know, throwing the first pitch. Okay. He had some singer from The Voice going and singing the anthem and all that. Yeah. So he was down on the field while everyone was warming up and stuff. Like, just, wait, we could do that?
You said meet you at center field. In the park. Not on the field.
No, in the the fan section, not the actual playing surface. Oh, little did we know.
Yeah, right.
Things we'll keep in mind for next year, I guess. So, well, we had just an absolute great time. We got to introduce Eddie and Sir Philip to Sweetwater Wings, which they were as impressed with those as we were. Like, you know,
should have told them to try this chicken sandwich.
You're at Sweetwater for the wings, sir. Don't even say something so insulting. Which, by the way, did you hear?
Yeah,
we're getting a Flint location apparently
right downtown.
The old 501 Bar and Grill.
I bet you the chicken sandwiches there are fantastic.
I'll bet you the wings are even better.
Next time I'll get the wings.
You uncultured swine. Good Lord. We also introduced him to the frozen Irish coffees at the Skip, which are also great. Like, there's a little alley bar as you're walking between Comerica Park and Sweetwater.
Okay.
There's like this little alley that's always like open to like for like opening day, like they do during the summer. Like, you can just walk down the alley with your drinks and stuff.
Cool.
There's a couple different bars that are like in that, on that block, and then there's one that like opens out to that alley. Like, they just throw the doors open, and they've got like four or five different varieties of like frozen cocktails.
Really?
You need this frozen Irish coffee in your life. You really do.
You talked about the bar itself. That's an alley bar. I kind of want to go to that.
You need to. Like, you absolutely need this place in your life, dude. It's probably the best. It's the best Irish coffee I've had, other than maybe that place in New Orleans, Aaron Rose. Like, that's the only other place that comes close. Like, this thing was absolute perfection.
Nice.
Like, we got to get you down. We need to do a night in Detroit with you. Like,
yeah.
We've been trying to get you down there for, I can't even remember how long now. We're just going to kidnap you one day, take you into downtown Detroit, and, you know.
Give me a wheelchair. That way we can get some prime seating. With my bum knee, you know.
I say, with your knee being the way it is, you might need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just wear a veteran's cap or something like that.
No, we're not going that far. But we
like see some stuff, man.
We'll let you go ahead and be, you know, disabled because you are like just super gimp right now.
Ah,
we ain't going with the other stuff.
Right. No stolen valor here.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. That we'll not allow that to happen. But
my Boy Scouts hat. Yeah, got this over at Camp Topico. Bad day on the compass field. I don't like to talk about it. We lost a lot of good scouts that day. And then we found them. Because we had a compass.
get you your... get your hat says you served in the KISS Army.
Now, there you go. Yeah.
There's always that. Right. But, yeah, we're making a Detroit trip happen for you at some point this summer because you have not... Like, we've obviously gone down for now a Wings game and stuff.
Sure,
but
sure.
You've never actually been down there for a real just night on the town.
So I've been to Detroit and Greektown, but I go to like the places everybody goes. You always kind of tell me like, oh, some off the beaten path places. That's where I want to go.
You know why? Because those are the places where you're not paying $20 for a Jack and Coke.
There you go. Now we're on the same page.
Like, yeah, you can. There's plenty of places in Greektown that'll sell you a basic single pour drink for $15. Yep. But we like the places like tucked away in like some neighborhood in Southwest Detroit where I can walk in and get a pour of Tullamore Dew and it's gonna run me $5.
Yep, the kind of place where like they still have like the jukebox that plays records.
They don't take
cards. They got like one black and white TV in the corner,
and they still somehow serve Schlitz. Like, those are the kind of places that are really, like, close to our hearts.
Yes.
So, naturally, those are the places that, you know, we always end up.
Yeah, that's where I want to be.
Oh, we will make sure to do it. Like, it's going to happen next year, man. But, yeah, the game, like, everything was fantastic. Like, we actually won the game, which was nice.
I got a chance to check out the seventh inning on, and Tigers look good. Now, Jason Foley, has he got a mullet for days, man?
Yes, he does, but he can pitch like nobody's business.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he's there's a reason he's a closer on that team. Like, he's, and I got to give credit where credit is due. AJ Hinch has really built himself a mighty fine bullpen. Like, if there's one thing that he's got that he's really good at, it's managing a pen and doing, knowing where to do his matchups and switch guys out and whatnot. The problems kind of, however, lie elsewhere, like in your, to an extent, in your rotation, particularly Kenta Maeda. I'm already out on this guy. Jack Flaherty did not have a great outing yesterday. And apparently, this team just cannot buy a run. Thus far, you're 13th out of the 15 teams in the American League when it comes to runs scored. You've scored 29 runs thus far. Through, what are we, 9 games into the season? Like, this can't keep up all year. Like, this is unacceptable, quite frankly. You're getting, like, you're averaging, like, 3.2 runs a game. Like, you're not going to contend for anything hitting like this. And I think a lot of people, myself included, are really unhappy about this because it's the one thing that we knew about last year that apparently Scott Harris just chose not to fix. Like, your offense was trash last year. There's no getting around this. I believe if you weren't dead last, I think you were third to last in runs scored in the league last year. And, you know, you're thinking, well, maybe they'll go and make some moves this offseason, get some guys in, get some actual bats, and that doesn't appear to have happened. You went out and got Mark Canna. Yay. He's hitting .214 right now. Like, you didn't really make any moves to address the elephant in the room here. Torque's still hitting below .200. Again, we're only a week and change into the season. But, like, you need to see some things start happening, particularly when it comes to Torque, because he's the guy that you're kind of counting on to be a good chunk of your offenses here. Javi Baez, I mean, yeah, he's hitting terribly, but you expected him to hit terribly. Riley Green, you like to think it's going to get better from here. Same for Parker Meadows. But, like, right now it's not good. And right now you're just seeing how much that lack of attention to the offense in free agency is really hurting this team. And this is against an absolute poverty franchise. Like, we went on the air, I mean, both on that pregame show on Friday morning and on Happy Hour that Friday afternoon, and just basically told you, like, Oakland's a poverty franchise. Like, they're literally not trying to win games. In fact, they're actively trying to lose. They're trying to just alienate the entire fan base so they'll stop showing up to games. It's basically the plot of the movie Major League.
Yes.
But in real life, like, they're just trying to tank this thing so they can sell it and not have to feel bad at all about it. Like, that's exactly what's happening in real life in Oakland, and you somehow manage to lose 2 games this team. How is that possible? You only have one competent starting pitcher in this on this team right now. I mean, you've got Paul Blackburn, who somehow thus far, has not yet given up a run in his two games pitched, but is historically not very good. Ross Stripling, a former Dodger, who has traditionally been fairly, you know, at least okay over the course of his career. He was a solid middle-of-the-rotation guy. But after that, you have nothing. Every other starting pitcher they have is terrible. And I don't understand how it is that this team, who's also collectively scored one more run than the Tigers have this season, I don't understand how they went out there and made you look like just absolute garbage. That's unacceptable. You can't be going and losing games by that much to a team that is actively trying to be terrible.
I mean, they started out so good, and now it's like they're coming down to earth, I guess, maybe?
I suppose. And I was hoping that would come after you started facing real competition. I mean, you faced the White Sox, who were terrible, the Mets, who were awful, and you did what was expected of you. And I'm not saying I expected this team to start off the season like 11-0, but come on, man. You're playing the worst teams that Major League Baseball has to offer, and you're getting blown out. 7-1 against the Oakland A's. You should never be on the losing side of that matchup ever. I'm sorry, you just can't do it. We'll get into some more. We'll get into even some more baseball coming up if my heart can handle it, quite frankly. It is happy hour. Stick around back after this. It is happy hour. You know what? I know it's Monday. We don't normally do this on Monday, but want to do a little bit of unsolicited advice?
We do. We do. And then you got a pinky swear we can talk about Red Wings because
they actually
won yesterday.
So, oh, yeah. We will absolutely. I promise you we will talk about the Red Wings.
Sweet.
You know the drill by now. Real people, real problems, yada, yada, yada. We ruin lives. Let's do this thing real quick, shall we? Dear somebody who cares, my friend tips badly, like really badly. We're talking 12% on a good day. It's so awkward going out with him, especially when we go places I like or where I'm a regular. What do I do?
Don't go with him. And when he asks why, tell him. He probably thinks, 10%, I tell you what, they probably love me. they completely, you're doing them a favor by telling them you're cheap and nobody wants to be around you. Or he's thinking, one of those people, well, these people are beneath me. They're servicing me, and therefore, I will tip them whatever I feel.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I've known, you still know, people who are doing this, who are like the kind of people who like look for an excuse to lower their tip and will just be absolutely terrible to their server. And like any like small thing, they will seize on it as a reason to tip less.
Yeah.
Like, I stopped going out to places with this person for that reason. If I know people are doing that and being the difficult customer and also tipping like garbage,
yep,
I won't go out with them. No, and like, why don't you ever want to go anywhere? Because you're a cheapskate who's also a lousy customer.
Yeah, I mean,
like I absolutely sorry.
Go no, ahead. No. I'm agreeing with you because I don't want to go up there having that. That feeling that, okay, yeah, we're having a good time, but this server is going to think that we're trash because of this guy. There's been times that, and Drew would tell you, we would hang out with a big group of people, and there's a couple that would be there, and they would, as soon as they got into the establishment, they're looking for reasons not to tip. We went to Hooters. It was about, I think it was for my birthday. And there was probably about 15 of us. And they're like, okay, we got this. We got this. Don't worry. Your money's no good. We got it. Which was really nice. But then it's like they didn't tip anything. And so Drew asked the server, and how much did they tip you? It's like $2. So we just started piling on cash.
Was it one of those things where they were like expecting you to like, well, I'll pay the bill. You leave the tip.
Nope. It wasn't like that, because if that was the case, yeah, not a problem. I'll be glad to, because the tip is less than the bill.
Right. Like, I feel like that is absolutely something that needs to be communicated if you're going to do that.
Like, because they left a tip, but it was like, I think the bill was like $150, and they left like $10, $5 maybe.
Eesh.
And it's like, yeah, you know how hard these people work. I think everybody should be required to at least have a class of, so you don't have to work as a server, but you should definitely have a class to learn what they go through.
I feel like, no, you absolutely should have to do it, because you don't really learn until you've had someone chew you out because you charged them 25 cents too much for a drink, or they thought that the prices hadn't changed in the last 20 years or whatever.
Yep.
You don't really learn until you're in that situation just how garbage some people can be.
Some people just want to complain. I got chewed out at my job because they were looking for this product. You guys are always out of this product. And I showed it to him. Is it, well, you changed the packaging. I'm sorry. I changed the packaging?
You personally changed the packaging. Well,
in addition to all my other jobs, now I'm a graphic designer. Some people just...
Who knew? I didn't realize you were so multi-talented.
Apparently, I'm a jack of all trades over here. Some people, they need to feel above somebody, superior to others. And it's really frustrating, because those people probably lead a really sad life. They probably get yelled at their job, if they have one.
Right.
Or they get yelled at home. And so now they come to a store, a restaurant, a bar, and say, I'm going to take all my frustration on this person.
Yeah, and that absolutely makes you a garbage human, and I make no apologies for this. Like,
none.
These are the kind of people that we really should be just publicly shaming more often.
Absolutely.
I hate that. Like, and I will admit, I absolutely am judging you based on how you treat service industry people. Like, for example, if you're the kind of person that that doesn't tip, or that does the complaining to the wait staff about every small issue you have at a place, like, I would not date you. Like, I will, like, absolutely choose to reevaluate my association with people who are that way. Like,
oh, I was engaged to somebody who would just have it out for servers. She would be in a mood, and she would have it out for people. She would tell cashiers and waitresses that they need to smile more.
Oh, no one likes that. Like, that is the worst person really in existence.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone hates that you should smile more. I can't believe, actually, though, as a woman doing it, because I feel like it's always some, like, creepy dude who's
You'd
doing it.
You'd be a lot
to
prettier if you smiled.
Yeah. As someone who also thinks that he is now entitled because he did go and leave a huge, you know, or leave a semi-decent tip, he's now entitled to take that server home with him.
Yeah.
It's like these people are so predictable. Like, you can just almost predict how it's going to play out, like, almost exactly.
Yep.
These people are just the absolute worst.
It doesn't really fit this topic, but I do have a story of a guy that used to come in and would go and tell women they need to smile more. I'll spoil the ending. Some woman almost whooped him hard. But that's another story, another time. But yeah, back to this. The letter. What should you do? Say, hey, I'm not going with you, and this is why. Because this person probably doesn't even realize that they're not tipping properly. They probably think 10%. Their parents probably. His parents probably tipped only like 10%, if at all. So he probably thinks, well, 10, 15%, I'm doing okay. But no, it's about 20 to 25%, and people don't understand. They think that, or they're blissfully unaware that servers make the same amount as everybody else, that they're on minimum wage. Well, then it's the owner's job. The owner should be paying their salary, not us. Okay, fine. Let's go with that idea. Now they have to raise prices to make up for that. Now that burger that you were complaining about was $9.99, now it's $20. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the other thing that I have an issue with. The people who, like, are apparently under the impression that they're going to completely change the system by, you know, being that guy. Like, I hate to tell you this, that's not how that's going to work. Like, you're just going to be the person that, well, there's 20 other people over here, and then you, and you're just going to be the last person served. Like, that's how that's going to work.
Oh, absolutely.
You're not changing the system because, A, you're going to complain about the higher prices you have to pay for things. Just come out and say that you don't think that servers deserve to make a livable wage. Like, that, just say the quiet part out loud already, would you?
Yeah.
So we can just judge you for what a horrible person you are.
Make sure you tell the waitress after they bring your food. before.
No, tell them before. Yeah. Tell them before so you can get the service you deserve.
You want to change the system. You want to make, you want to work things out better for people. Tip them in cash.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, because you'll use your card. You can put a line through the tip thing, put it on the total, and then tip cash. That's how you fix it.
Well, that's, and trust me, that's much more appreciated. But you know, like, the people who want to change it to, well, it should just be reflected in the price of the meal. Well, A, you're going to complain even more about the price of the meal, and 90% of that is still not going to go to the wait staff. Like, they're going to pay them basically the bare minimum, so now that's going to be going somewhere else. So that I don't feel like that's nearly the solution to this problem that so many seemingly almost entirely libertarian folks seem to think it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of people who just think that servers, bartenders, they all make a livable wage off that. And the tips are just extra. It's if it's nice for good service. Yeah, yeah, I know. Do some research, people. Now, did we talk about this? Because I know that we talked about this, but this may have been off the air, where now there are some of these U-scans at stores that you ring up everything yourself that comes up with a tip window.
I believe we did talk about that on the air.
Were we being punked, or is this a real thing? Because, yeah, no.
Yeah, that was stupid. Like, I've never seen one of those out in the wild and would laugh my head off if I ever did run into it.
Yeah.
But, no, like, that's not how this works. That's not how literally any of this works.
Of course. The end of the side, I was being punked when I saw this one picture going through it, and you've probably seen it on the internets, where on a screen, like when you're being arrested, there's a tip window.
Yeah, no, not so much. So the moral of the story here is, if you don't tip, you're a terrible person.
If you don't tip, don't go out to eat. Don't expect anybody to go out with you.
Expect to have friends.
Yeah.
How about that? Just don't expect to have friends ever.
Exactly. There you go. Hope that helped.
I'd say we've really changed some lives here. Want to do one more of these real quick?
Sure.
Just for the hell of it. We're on a roll today, and I think we could really just do some, really make a difference in people's lives. Dear, oh, not them, anybody but them.
Sorry, it's us.
My daughter has threatened to leave her marriage 3 times in the last 4 years. Her husband is a slob and acts like a second child. They have a 4-year-old. The last time this happened, I paid for her to talk to a divorce lawyer, and we talked about her and her son moving in with me. Then my daughter turned around and said they were going to make it work. And they were trying for another baby.
Always a good idea.
I told my daughter she's making a huge mistake. Babies don't fix people. She's already stressed out caring for her son basically by herself. I also warned her I'd be moving sooner rather than later. I was tired of snow and my sisters needed help caring for our parents. My daughter didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. I apologized and thought everything was better between us until now. My sister had a stroke and can no longer care for our parents. I'm selling my house to move in with them.
Oh,
when I told my daughter, she exploded in anger, saying I was abandoning her and her children. She's pregnant again, and it turns out her husband got someone else pregnant too.
Oh my God.
I am completely floored by this and don't know what to do. I'm in the process of putting my house on the market. I can't afford 2 houses or to be constantly traveling between here and there. I don't know what to do. Help.
Well, there's what you want to do, what you're able to do. There are two different things. What you want to do is make everybody happy. You want to be able to take care of your daughter, your grandkid, grandkids. Your daughter has shown a history of
making bad decisions.
Yeah. So you're not, she's an adult now. You can't make her, do things that she doesn't want to do. Does she want to move in with you? Well, she had that chance. She didn't take it. Now you have a responsibility for your parents. So, I mean, there's, I guess, one option, but I mean, you'd have to talk to your parents about, see if your daughter and the son wants to move with you down there. Exclude the guy. The guy's not coming. He's got another bun in the oven.
I mean, I don't think even at this point that's going to be an option, because now she's horribly offended that you rightly pointed out that she's making a terrible life choice. And this is normally, you know, I don't typically read the advice being given on these because, you know, I don't want it to taint what I might say, yeah, but also because I just know innately in my heart that my advice is better. But in this case, I read the advice givers, and it, I don't agree with a lot of what is really going on here. Like, basically saying, is your daughter mad at you for threatening a move or for your unsolicited advice on her marriage? Like, did you ultimately decide to move in with your parents because they urgently need you or because you were frustrated your daughter hadn't accepted your apology? Like,
wow.
Like, very much, like, coming down on her for making the comments about, like, but I mean, I know it's the own unsolicited advice or whatever, but I mean, that's also what we're doing. Yeah, and quite frankly, you were right. Yeah. Babies don't, like, having a baby doesn't fix people. Like, if your relationship is already bad, adding a child to it's just going to make it worse.
Yep.
And if you already have a kid and that he's not helping you take care of it, what makes you think adding another one is going to be the help you think it is? As it turns out, it worked out about exactly as far from that as it possibly could have.
Oh, yeah,
he apparently was screwing around.
Yeah, this POS, I guarantee it, he's going to bolt. He's going to take off. He might be moving down south.
Yeah, he might very well be. I don't think you've apologized. Quite frankly, you've done enough. That at this point, she can get over it, because it's clear that she's going to have to try and depend on you in some capacity to save her from the mistake that you tried to save her from making.
Right.
And she's going to be mad because, well, you told her so, and it came true pretty much the exact way you said it would.
Yeah. Who would have thunk it?
I mean, you got to go and do your thing for your parents and your sister and all that. Like, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You can't sit here and hope that your kid's going to finally get her you-know-what together. That's just not a realistic possibility for you, clearly.
But, I mean, with you going down south, you're taking care of your sister who just had a stroke. You're taking care of your parents, and you're giving your daughter an opportunity. You're taking away that lifeline, which will maybe cause her to grow up quicker, I guess. You know, she can't rely on mommy anymore, so she has to make decisions for herself.
Maybe, but I also feel like that's just how you end up getting stuck in even making even worse decisions. Like, okay, now I have no support system around, so I'm just going to have to stay and try and make it work with a guy who clearly doesn't care about me at all and raise his kids and just be miserable for the rest of my life. I feel like that's what that is. Like, I guess make sure, you know, Try as best you can to keep the lines of contact open and that, like, when you finally do wise up, you know, you can come stay here. We'll help you out as much as we can, but I'm not sitting here waiting around until you figure that out.
Exactly.
That's as best as I got, man. Hope this helps. It is happy hour. We'll come back and talk Red Wings next. Stick around back after this. It is happy hour, and I've been making Adam wait for this, like, the entire broadcast. Obviously haven't talked since basically Friday. He's chomping at the bit. He's jonesing. He's fiending. I see him scratching his neck over there. He's so excited to talk about this, and I actually get to bust out the music today. As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Yeah, the Wings won, beating the Buffalo Sabres 3-1. If you missed the first period, you missed the game. That was all she wrote.
It's all we needed.
The Wings are back in a wild card slot. Now you got the Capitals 2 points behind.
The Penguins, I believe, 1 point behind.
Oh, yeah, the Penguins are nipping.
They're chomping at the bit. I didn't think that was going to be a game that could potentially decide the fate of the wild card for both teams.
Yep.
So we have two of those coming up.
Yep.
Actually, so your last several games of the season, you're going to be playing Washington
on Tuesday. Tomorrow.
You've got Pittsburgh coming up. Yep. Toronto is already in the playoffs, essentially. But you've also got Montreal. Okay, they're dead last in their division, at least. So
feel pretty good against them.
Yes. You're now contending. We have two teams that need that win over you to get the playoff spot over you. Now that Pittsburgh's kind of dropped out. Also, Philly kind of slid a bit. Like, yeah. They were in, at one point, they were in a divisional spot in the Metro.
They were in, they were a bullet with a name. I mean, they had really done well, and then all of a sudden, the wheels start falling off. Tortorella is actually apologizing to the press about how he's talking to his players.
Wait a minute. You stop that noise right now. What? John Tortorella's apologizing to the press.
Yep. He.
What bizarro world did I wake up in today?
There was a goaltender. This was like last week around this time. There was a goaltender who wasn't performing well, and he made the comment to the press that the goaltender was slow or something like that. But he wow. Not slow, like
typical. Classic torts.
And then he says, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. What, you know? So he kind of backtracked. I mean, it was still Tortorella. I'm sure all the other the media people were just like, oh, okay, this is a trap. I hear a rattlesnake's rattle. So there were probably no follow-up questions. But, so, yeah, something happened with the Flyers. The wheels have come off the Flyers quite wrongly. But now, I mean, looking at the stats, the standings again, like we had just talked about it, but I had something.
Of course.
Yeah, so right now you got Washington and Pittsburgh, and we're playing both of them. Pittsburgh, I wanted to see their upcoming schedule. They're playing Toronto today. Detroit on Thursday. So this bodes well for the Wings because they're playing Toronto on tonight. Saturday against Boston, and then a hungry Islanders team to round out their season on Wednesday the 17th.
And then you've got a matchup against Nashville in there, too, for whatever it's worth.
Well, I skipped over that, but I really should have, because at one point they were like a 17-0 win streak. I don't know how they're doing now, but for a team that was hot garbage in the beginning of the year, not too shabby. Then you got Washington looking at their schedule. I know that. Let me see.
I think theirs was pretty similar to ours. Like they've got, they have a fairly tough road to finish off the year. They don't get to play Montreal, but I believe they do get to play Ottawa. They get to play the Wings, the Sabres, the Lightning, the Bruins, and the Flyers.
They lost to Ottawa. So they're playing Detroit on Tuesday, Buffalo on Thursday. Tampa and Philly in there, but then you got Boston on Monday the 15th, so their competition is getting lighter. And the Wings.
Is it, though? I mean, it is this week, but then they have to play Tampa and Boston, and I don't believe they have the same level of success against those teams as we do. Their last matchup with the Bruins, they lost. They won their first one, though. Against Tampa, they won their last one, I guess, and then they lost their other one in a shootout.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess this could really go either way.
Yeah.
Depending how hot the team is that night.
Well, we'll find out.
I mean, they're riding a 6-game losing streak.
Yeah. So I see that they lost against Ottawa, the bunch of jerks. Pittsburgh, they got smoked by Buffalo 6-2, and they'll be looking for some redemption. When they go into Buffalo on Thursday, but hopefully Buffalo can hold them off. Yeah, Buffalo's no slouch. When they played the Wings last night, they played them hard. But the Wings, something has told me in my gut that they've kind of, whatever they were snake bit with, they sucked out the poison because they played well.
Would appear that way.
Yeah.
They even hung in there against the Rangers, which I did not expect that to be as close of a game as it was.
Yeah. Exactly. What they lost, was it in overtime or?
I think it was regulation, but they only lost like 4-3.
Yeah. Seeing Joe Valeno drop the mitts, that was something I didn't plan on seeing, and he was doing quite well. He was going, I can't remember who he fought, but he was going after the back of that guy's head like there was money in there or something.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because we talked about this on Friday, and I talked about this on Tigers pregame with Sir Philip Nickel on Friday morning as well.
Yeah.
That I was kind of concerned that the Wings weren't going to be able to hold up against a physical, gritty, pesty kind of team
right. Like
the Rangers. I really didn't think it was going to go their way at all. Like, Rempe and Truba do what they do, and I didn't think the Wings really would have much of an answer for that. And I'm glad to see I was at least, you know, somewhat wrong about that.
Well, did Rempe play against the Wings? Because I think he was suspended, wasn't he?
I believe you're right. How long did he get suspended for? Like, I don't remember hearing anything on the outcome of that after the big old line brawl out, that happened.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't lineup, but he was just really kind of quiet.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he showed up for that game because he kind of against the Devils because he had to because he knew McDermott was going to find him.
Truba was in the lineup, but Rempe was not.
Right. Yeah, I'm seeing that now. Well, I wonder how long he's going to be out for then, because that would be unfortunate for the Rangers.
I don't. He might have been a healthy scratch, because I mean I didn't hear of him being because it had just happened. So I didn't hear
on
any,
Wednesday. Yeah,
yeah. I didn't hear any suspensions or anything like that. So I don't know. He might have just been a healthy scratch, or maybe would he maybe have injured himself in that fight against New Jersey? I don't know. The guy's a punk. The guy's a goon.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything else about a suspension since the four games he got in March over the elbow to the head of the dude from Jersey. So I think he might have just been scratched. Because, you know, there's 90% of the time only one reason that dude's in the lineup, and it's because he's a scrapper, he's a fighter, and he doesn't really bring much to the table from an offensive standpoint.
No, he really doesn't. He's kind of very one-dimensional.
Like, the kind of guy that, I guess we were wrong. They do still allow players to play like that in the NHL. Yeah, one goal and one assist in his 15 games. Yeah, he's here to be a goon and nothing else.
69 penalty minutes in 15 games.
Man knows his role.
6'7", this kid. 241. They're growing him big in Calgary.
They really, truly are.
So the Wings take on the
Washington tomorrow.
That is going to be a huge. The playoffs already started for the Wings, guys. Anybody who says I want to see the Wings in the playoffs will turn on your TV because they're there. This you're watching playoff hockey right now,
especially this week because you're a hungry team that's trying like hell to hold on to their position in the last wild card spot. Going up against two teams that are trying to leapfrog you for that spot. You need these games.
It's going to be a something piranha. Bad. It's going to be a piranha pond right there between those three, Tampa Bay, New York Islanders in there in the mix somewhere. It's a dogfight.
It really is. Like, this is, you know, some rather exciting. Like, the last 2 weeks of the NHL season are going to be, it's going to be fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we talked about the schedule, but I'm gonna really nail it home. Washington and Pittsburgh, you're fighting. Toronto, they might even rest some players. They might even back off because they know they've clinched. So you might be able to take two or three of those three games there. You might even take all three. You have that option.
You absolutely need to beat Montreal, both of those games.
Both of those games have got to come home with you.
Especially if you don't end up beating Toronto.
Yeah. I mean, if you only win one of those three games against the Pens, Caps, and Leafs, you have to win both from from Montreal.
I would say you need, at a bare minimum of the last five games, you got to win at least three. And yeah. I don't know if three is necessarily going to guarantee any security either.
Not really.
Might need four.
Let's say you beat Toronto and then you finish up with two wins against Montreal. You still lost to Washington and the Penguins, who
got those points on you.
Yeah. So how about Wings? How about you just win all five? Let's just go that route.
That'd be nice. Do I think it's going to happen? No.
No. Not realistically.
It's not a realistic expectation as much as I would like it to be, sadly.
Right. Well, we shall see.
That, I suppose we shall. It's going to be a fun last couple weeks. Hopefully everyone's really ready for it. And hopefully Derek Lalonde can actually motivate somebody, because he knows there's no way he hasn't heard the chatter. He knows his job's on the line.
He has.
He knows if he doesn't win or make it to the playoffs, he knows that, oh, someone's breathing down your neck, whether it's Craig Berube or Gerard Gallant or whoever, really.
Well, rumor is that Berube has already been walking around LCA, and he's been in Lalonde's office with a tape measure.
That's yeah. I watch your back if I'm old Coach Gru right now.
Yeah,
we got to hit a break. It is happy hour. Stick around. We'll come back. Close this thing up next. It is happy hour as we get set to close off, well, that bust of an eclipse.
Jim just came in. He wanted to do a time-lapse photography of downtown Lapeer, and he was thinking what I was thinking, that was going to get really, like, really dark and then light again. But it just dimmed down like it was cloud-covered, and then that was it.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, aren't you glad you wasted your whole afternoon on that? So we don't normally talk country music on this show, even though on the terrestrial side of things, this show does get carried by a station that occasionally dabbles in country music.
Yes, yes, we do.
But apparently they're not the only ones who dabble in country music. One, Beyonce Knowles is apparently dabbling in country music, and you've probably heard over the last month or two or whatever it's been, I think since the Grammys, where this came out as like a huge thing.
Yep.
And naturally, all the country music purists are freaking out about it like nobody's business. Oh my God, how dare she do an album that features a country song or two, which apparently, I've not listened to the whole album, but I hear it's not even all necessarily country. Like, it's a little...
Well, isn't the album called Cowboy Carter?
It is, yeah.
So, yeah, she's... There's a lot of people saying that she's trying to attach herself to the big genre that is right now, and has been for a while, and that is country music.
And while they're probably not entirely wrong about that part of it, I mean, yeah, she's totally capitalizing on a trend because, like any good pop star, sometimes that's just what you gotta do.
I mean, we've seen it all over the place. I mean, you have Kiss doing disco back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
People will try different things. So, I mean,
yeah, rockers were never exactly above chasing after a trend. Rod Stewart certainly, you know, he went disco. There was a point in time where Michael Bolton, like, actually rocked, and then he started doing, like,
the crooner,
pop ballads.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of these guys that, you know, will go and absolutely fully chase on a popular music trend.
Sure.
I mean, for some reason, you know, for a while there, Mumford & Sons abandoned the whole, like, here, we're like pretending to be we're like an old-timey folk band. All right, here's some drums and electric guitars. Let's do that instead.
I mean, we've seen it the other way. I mean, there's a lot of times country artists would go out and do the rock thing. I mean, you just had Dolly Parton release an album of, like, metal tunes. What kind of world do we live in now?
Well, in her case, like, she got nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's like, no thanks, you guys. I'm not really a rock artist. And then, like, well, we're putting you in anyway. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, I guess I have to make a rock album now.
And I've heard it's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I've heard surprisingly good things about that record.
But, like, Carrie Underwood, she's been just tearing it up in the rock scene, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah. Apparently, there's a version of her doing Ace of Spades that even like the pure rock metal critics are like, all right, it's not Motorhead. I don't like it, but it's not terrible.
I'm honestly kind of curious about that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
But then it's like what you were telling me off the air. There's people that saying Beyonce saved country music.
I want to say it was like a Rolling Stone article or something where they're blaming
the... Of course.
Because, you know, all the worst, like, boomer takes come from that rag these days.
Yes.
Of course, they're saying that. And then there was I'd come across another, like, a more country-focused website, because ever since I started hanging out with people and, you know, occasionally musicians who do play that kind of music, this stuff will show up in my feed. I think it just realizes that I work at a bar and there's way too many sad Zach Bryan songs being played at all hours, so it thinks that's what my algorithm needs to be. But... It said something along the lines of, well, country music didn't need saving. We've got Luke Bryan and Morgan Wallen already. Like, wait. What? That's like the examples you're pointing to as, you know, saving country music. We already had Morgan Wallen and, you know, Hardy and Jelly Roll and other people who aren't particularly country. And, you know, I feel bad. Like, if any of the part of this ends up playing over at WMIC, I feel like Nick Lane's just going to get a bunch of angry calls from listeners like, I can't believe they would say this kind of crap. But let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Like, I've listened to the track that everyone... You know, all the country purists are bashing that Texas Hold'em. Quite frankly, there's more actual instrumentation in the traditional country sense on that song than there is on 90% of the things that Morgan Wallen's ever done.
Yeah.
At least there's actual instruments. It's not just he's singing pop stuff with a twang over a trap beat.
Yeah.
Like,
There's a lot of that.
How is this any less country than a lot of the stuff that's currently on pop country radio?
Well, yeah, what we're seeing is the blurring of all the lines. And we started seeing this, you know, about 20 years ago. It was Nelly and Tim McGraw? Tim McGraw did a tune together. And, I mean, it's everybody's just kind of borrowing from each other to where, is it country? Is it rock? I maintain that if Lynyrd Skynyrd came out with their first album right now, they'd be considered country. But we've considered them country, southern rock. But, I mean, that's what's going on. I mean, they are saying that she saved country. Country didn't need it. Country is the biggest genre right now. But they're really reaching hard when they're talking about Morgan Wallen saving country. First of all, Morgan Wallen just got himself in a whole lot of trouble last night.
I hadn't heard about any of this yet.
Yeah, real quick, and then we'll get back to the original topic. But last night, he was over at Broadway Street Bar, owned by Eric Church, another country singer. And around 10:45, he threw a chair off a 6-story building, and it landed 3 feet from 2 Metro Nashville police officers.
Oh, my God. You didn't... Now, when you told me the story off the air, you didn't mention that he threw it off a 6-story building.
Yep. He threw it off the roof. It's probably one of those, like, you know, roof bars or something like that. He was charged with 3 counts of felony reckless endangerment and a misdemeanor count of disorderly conduct. He posted a $15,000 bond to release him from custody around 3:30 a.m.
I mean, that's pretty reckless as far as these things go.
You could have killed somebody.
You literally could have killed, like, that much weight coming from that high of a... That high of a distance, like, you could have easily killed somebody had that thing not landed where it did.
Yeah, well, 3 feet from a cop. I mean, that's just...
Like, you probably ought not be throwing chairs in the general direction of cops anyway. They tend to not like that very much.
Yeah, I would highly recommend not doing that. But, yeah, he's not saving himself, much less country music. I wonder.
I guarantee you it's not going to hurt his career any.
No. In fact, he's a country bad boy.
Yeah, he's a real outlaw, you know. Like, you're going to get a bunch of that now and just... No one wants this. No one wants any of this.
No, I'd forgotten he was actually a thing, but...
I wish I could forget he was a thing. Again, I work and play in bars where his stuff plays still on... Not as much as it used to, because it kind of got overtaken in recent times. Well, A, by that cover of Fast Car, seemingly on repeat.
Oh, yeah.
And Zach Bryan, who's at least, you know, actually country and actually plays real instruments and doesn't need 25 people to write his songs, but right. Also is the most depressing music on the face of the earth. It's good music, it's great songwriting, but you can't deny if you listen to stuff like you're going to be just sitting in a corner in the fetal position crying, like wondering where your life went. Like, it's kind of rough, man. So... he's not going anywhere. If anything, this is only probably going to help his career, unfortunately.
Yep, probably.
You wouldn't get that lucky. But no, back to the Beyonce thing. I don't see how it's any less country just because she had an established career as a pop artist already.
Yep.
I mean, Taylor Swift went and did the exact opposite.
Yep.
And became, like, somehow now the biggest thing ever. And I'm still, quite frankly, not entirely certain how that is. I mean, not that she's a bad songwriter, but she's not like her singing is not blowing anybody away, quite frankly. And again, don't show up at, you know, if you're going to show up anywhere with pitchforks and torches, show up here in downtown Lapeer at least. I am willing to take on all comers there if the Swifties show up and just. I'm willing to take on their wrath. Quite frankly, you can't cancel me. You can only make me actually relevant.
No, the Swifties around it would be like 20, 15-year-olds and a fat 30-year-old guy named Chad. Don't talk about Swiftie.
Don't talk about my Taylor like that.
That's my Tay-Tay.
There's no doubt a lot of them around here. So, I mean, we'd hear from somebody. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
But I'll take him on. Fine. I don't care. Like, I her voice doesn't really do anything all that impressive for me. I mean, granted, I'm not the target audience for her music, her songwriting, or whatever. But, you know, I'm not really meant to be. But I feel like Turnabout's fair play here. Like, she went and just took over the pop world. Why can't Beyonce go and record a country song or two and hang around over there? I mean, yeah, I know everyone's so, you know, they claim to be so traditionalist and purist, but yet you're letting rappers come in there, like actual rappers come in and make songs with trap beats about how redneck they are.
Right.
Why can't we have someone who has an actual good singing voice and at least brought along actual, you know, instrumentalists instead? We apparently just can't have that. I don't know why, but you know, I can't get inside the minds of these people. Anyway, we gotta go. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions, because it's Solid State Radio. Local is just kind of what we do or something. All being well, talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.